98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Bickley. Fitz Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio
really
show that's
is.
Ever existed.
It really, really
in
is.
In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world.
Happy Monday. Happy game day. What is going on, Valley sports fans? Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, the massively popular Bickley and Murata. That's what somebody said on Twitter last week.
Actually,
you told me somebody called us massively popular.
No, I think he was focusing on me, not the show. But no.
It was the easy history, sports history, whatever.
It is massively popular.
Did I read that wrong? Was he really calling you massively popular?
No, because I think the phrasing was who's part of the massively popular.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Vince Murata, it was his anniversary, and said Vince Murata, who was part of the massively popular.
Which I'm not even sure that anniversary was, because it was
correct?
The anniversary of me being hired, but I actually, you know how weird I get about stuff, like facts and things.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and looked at it, and the press release was 9 days away from that date, so. I don't know. I don't know my own chronology.
The fact that he does is worrisome enough. We've got a lot to get into today. I can't wait for this. This football game feels very dangerous. It feels very consequential. It feels very impactful to the way we're going to feel about this football team one way or another.
Feels a little trappy, doesn't it?
Feels a little trappy. Like I said, feels a little dangerous. They've got the better wide receivers. They've got the better running back.
Got the better uniform.
They better not have the better quarterback. Do they have the better offensive play caller?
The better coaching scheme.
Yeah. By the way, it's been a wacky week in the NFL. We're going to get the show started, but if you want a quick synopsis, yesterday marked a major shift in the Bill Belichick versus Tom Brady narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was proof that the AFC is a lot more than Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, right?
Absolutely.
It's proof that the Bears are doing something right, although I don't know what it is to be certain.
They're 5-1. Are you believing yet?
No!
I didn't think they'd beat Carolina, though. Yeah, it was a strange week.
And Todd Bowles sent a message to Vance Joseph. Well, he didn't. I'm sending it to Vance Joseph.
It's like,
right.
Hey, did you watch Todd yesterday?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you watch the Tampa Bay defense yesterday?
If you want to see what a defensive coordinator can do to help his team in a big game, there you go. That's why I love that guy. They beat the tar out of the Packers yesterday.
It was such a disappointment. Oh, I was expecting a good game.
I loved it.
It was a blowout.
I loved every second of it. All right, so that is the backdrop. It's Monday Night Football. We've got two Monday Night Football games tonight.
We have a Monday afternoon game.
Monday afternoon football. Dun, 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 gung, gung.
Starting at 2 p.m.
Yeah, that's a good game, too.
Yeah, and all the Dodgers fans in the Valley, they are all breathing easy now. All right, we got a lot to get to. Start the show, Carlin.
The Splash.
Splash.
The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
And we start the Splash for Monday with, it's here. Cardinals will make their first Monday Night Football appearance in 3 years when they take on the Dallas Cowboys at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. A couple more injuries for the Cardinals surfaced. Well, not surfaced, but became more concrete over the weekend. Offensive guard J.R. Sweezy placed on injured reserve with an elbow injury. Rookie defensive lineman Rashard Lawrence goes on IR with a calf injury. For the Cowboys, listen to this, Bick.
Mm-hmm.
First game started by a quarterback not named Dak Prescott since week 17 of the 2015 season. Do you know who started that game?
I don't.
Kellen Moore, who's now the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys. Pre-game coverage for the game starts at 1:30. Actually, it starts at 12. We're going to have roundtable coverage with Burns and Gambo and ourselves. starting at noon, taking you up till the Cardinals Network pregame coverage at 1:30. And then you got Dave Pasch, Ron Wolfley, and Paul Calvisi on the call for the game that kicks off at 5:15. I got bored over the weekend, so I did a deep dive into the Cardinals' Arizona Monday night history.
My mind is just a little bit blown right now because Kellen Moore was also a part of another trivia question yesterday.
He was?
Yeah. Tua Tagovailoa completed a pass, and it was like the first left-hander to complete a pass
since Kellen Moore. Yeah. Kellen Moore. If you're playing trivia anywhere and you're not sure of the answer, just answer Kellen Moore, and there's like a 30% chance you're going to get it right.
Better chance than Kellen Olsen.
Yes, right. I would agree with that.
There will be, as Bick mentioned, another game before Cardinals, Cowboys, Chiefs visit the Bills in Buffalo in a battle of 4-1 AFC teams, both coming off their first losses of the season. That game does get underway at 2 o'clock Arizona time, and you can catch it on Fox. In the NFC West last night, San Francisco 49ers climbed back to 500 with a 24-16 win over the Rams in Santa Clara.
We all saw that coming, didn't we?
Yeah. If you look at it a different way, the Rams are now 0-2 against teams not from the NFC East. They mopped up on a bad division.
Yeah.
The Cardinals have an opportunity to get their second win against said bad division today. Yeah.
That was an impressive display from the 49ers. That's all I got to say about that.
It was a well-coached game, I thought.
Yeah. That was an impressive display from a team that got blown out and had a lot of people, yours truly included, saying that's the end of this iteration of the 49ers.
And they said, wait a minute, Bickley.
They said, no, Bickley, you're an idiot. Here you go.
Not so fast, my friend.
Oh, okay.
The World Series is set. Cody Bellinger's home run broke a 3-3 tie, lifted the Dodgers to a 4-3 win in Game 7, a series they rallied to win after being down 3-1. Corey Seager, who had 5 home runs in the series, was named the NLCS MVP. Dodgers take on the Tampa Bay Rays, who survived a Game 7 Saturday night, beating Houston 4-2. Series takes place at Globe Life Park in Arlington and gets started tomorrow night.
Not only did Cody Bellinger break open a tie game, he nearly broke off his shoulder celebrating it.
I know everybody's kind of like just glazing over that fact because Cody Bellinger came in and played defense afterward, and he had the last out of the game. He's missed time for the similar thing happening. I wonder if it's different because this is the World Series they're going into, but I'll never understand two really strong grown men
exposing their shoulder blades and collarbones area like that.
Well,
yeah.
Just banging bones together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what can go wrong if you jump up with force and two athletes like bang their elbows together at full speed?
Especially with somebody who's got like no governor at all like Kike Hernandez.
Right.
Guy's out of control.
That could have been a real bad scene for the Dodgers. The fact that Clayton Kershaw did not start that game was such a massive indictment of him and the lack of trust in him. Did you see David Ortiz?
When you can squeeze an inning out of Dustin May, you got to go with it.
Dustin May. Dustin May looked like Archie Bradley there, didn't he?
Dustin May get a haircut soon, I think, if he keeps pitching like that.
So Dodger fans got quite a reprieve yesterday.
Oh, and I, for one, am happy for them.
Yeah. I know you're ecstatic.
Clemson remains the top team in both the AP and coaches polls after their record-setting 73-7 win over Georgia Tech on Saturday. The 66-point win was the biggest margin ever in an ACC football game.
And really?
It could have been worse.
Yeah, that was like,
I mean, if Trevor Lawrence played the whole game. Has Trevor Lawrence thrown a pass in like the fourth quarter in his career?
It's a good question.
I'm asking tongue-in-cheek. Obviously he has, but not many.
Yeah.
Alabama.
He'll throw plenty when he's playing for the New York Jets next year.
Well, maybe not. He'll probably be injured in the second quarter of those games.
Right.
Alabama, who got by Georgia, remains number 2 in both polls, followed by Notre Dame. Georgia falls only one spot after that loss. And then Ohio State. Two Pac-12 teams are ranked this week in the AP poll. Oregon 13th, USC 24th. ASU received votes in both polls. We got the Big Ten starting up this weekend.
You do.
That means we're only, 2 weeks away from
Pac-12 football.
Or is it a week?
The beauty.
2 weeks.
That will be Pac-12 football.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Saturday morning football. Mm-hmm. Coyotes GM Bill Armstrong announced the re-signing of forward Christian Fisher today. 2-year contract. Fisher had 6 goals and 3 assists in 56 games. And ranked third on the team with 140 hits. So the construction or reconstruction of the Coyotes roster continues. And Phoenix Rising FC advanced to the Western Finals in the USL Championship playoffs. They rallied from 2-0 down to beat Reno 1868 FC on penalty kicks, 5-4 on kicks. They'll take on El Paso Locomotive FC Saturday night.
All right, congratulations. Those boys, they did really well.
What a great job.
What a great job
by those guys.
By those guys.
There you go. There's your splash for Monday, October 19th. Game day is here. Cardinals, Cowboys, Monday night. We will dive in next. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Bickley and Murata. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Yeah, I think just, you know, being back in that stadium, you know, I've had some pretty big games there, you know, while playing at Texas A&M. You know, we played Arkansas there every year and, you know, had some primetime games there. So it's just, it'll bring back a lot of memories. You know, it's a great stadium, great environment. You know, obviously with not as many fans, it'll still be a little different. But, you know, just the scene of, you know, how big the stadium is, the turf. I mean, there's nothing like it. And to play there on Monday night, you know, my personal first Monday night football game, it'll be a fun moment. But like you said, you know, can't get too high or too low about it. You know, just got to treat it like another game and go out there and just, you know, execute.
It's Christian Kirk of the Arizona Cardinals. Had a resurgent game last week against the Jets. Talking about his feelings playing on Monday Night Football in Dallas. He's another guy. I mean, he's a Valley guy, but played his college career in the state of Texas, too. So those homecoming storylines are plentiful going into this game.
They are.
When you talk about two prominent offensive players like Kyler Murray and Christian Kirk, and, of course, the head coach, Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
That's been one of the overwhelming storylines going into this.
I think that as game day has drawn nearer, and I've kind of read a lot more stuff about Andy Dalton going into this game and kind of looked at what the Cowboys have offensively, there are some real strong arguments to be made that no other backup quarterback anywhere would be inheriting a better position than being able to hand off to Zeke Elliott and throw to that trio of wide receivers. And then you kind of realize this is going to be a dangerous game for the Arizona Cardinals, particularly their head coach defensive coordinator combination, mm-hmm. if you ask me. I think their head coach is going to have to dial up an offense that looks good on at least 75% of its possessions. They haven't been able to do that this year. And the play calling has been bad enough at times that he has had to own it after games and post-game situations. And you got Vance Joseph. I mentioned the Todd Bowles analogy yesterday. Todd Bowles is great at what he does. I'm not asking Vance Joseph to be great as a defensive coordinator. They're two different guys. But if you are talking about bringing pressure and getting to a quarterback and disrupting an offense, that's how you do it.
You saw the example yesterday, and one of the things that's lacking from Vance Joseph's defenses with the Cardinals these last 2 years, Bick, is pressure put on the quarterback, especially now you subtract Chandler Jones from the mix, but really putting the quarterback in situations where he's making bad decisions because of that pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers had been flawless this year in that, and he throws a pick six and changes the complexion of the game because of what Todd Bowles was able to dial up.
And that game was so bizarre, too. I don't know if you saw this. After Aaron Rodgers scored on a scrambling touchdown, Packers went up 10-0, and then he flexed his abs in the end zone.
He was doing the Hingle McCringleberry.
Is that what that was?
That's what everybody was
calling. Yeah, it was from Key and Peele, which is a...
It's the whole sketch where...
Okay.
The football player does too many pumps is what they call
okay.
it. He gets penalized.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. Then he went to the sideline and he looked really, 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 really happy. And it was almost like the NFL gods slapped him across the face. Really, I'm serious. It's kind of that's what it felt like.
Several times.
Yeah.
He got slapped across the face.
Several times.
It wasn't just once.
Yeah. Should I be worried that you started this by saying, I don't expect Vance Joseph to be great.
I don't. When has he ever shown you that? I mean, he's shown more of the other stuff. The disarray on defense, the lack of coordination from a defensive coordinator. People can forget it if they choose to. I'll never forget Cliff Kingsbury running down the sideline, looking back at his defensive coordinator like, what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That stuff matters to me. And so when you look at that, I just kind of see a couple of guys really, really who better perform well tonight, because I see this game going a couple of different ways. And I think Kyler Murray is going to have to be really, really good for the team to win this game. Newsflash, right? A quarterback has to be really good to win a game. But I think when you look at what Andy Dalton has in terms of weapons, and you look at how susceptible the Cardinals' defense has been, and you look at the loss of Chandler Jones, which hopefully will be absorbed by guys coming back, and then you look at an offensive line now that will not have J.R. Sweezy, and you just Kyler Murray's going to have to make a ton of individual plays, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if there's... For the offense, if there's hope here, and there should be, obviously the Cardinals have shown glimpses of being really strong offensively, but in my opinion, Bick, they've played two football games against bad defenses this year, and they've performed against those defenses. They put up 438 yards and 30 points on Washington in week two, 496 mm-hmm. yards and 30 points against the Jets. They seem to top out at right around 30 points. That's a number to watch, because I don't know if 30 points is going to win this game tonight for either team. This has the makings of a game that could be a real shootout.
It could be.
And people will look at Andy Dalton and, oh, he's a backup. He's not your typical backup. Just go back to last year when he's playing in Cincinnati and there's very, very little in terms of talent around him. He had his best game of his season last year against the Cardinals. 27 of 38 for 262, two touchdown passes, no mm-hmm. picks. 107.6 rating, completed 71% of his passes. Those are good numbers. And if he could put up those numbers this week, it might be a long night for that Cardinals defense.
Yeah, listen, and that's what worries me. And because if it gets down to a situation like that, the Cardinals offense, the reason why I say that Kyler Murray might have to do a preponderance of this himself is because I have not seen yet from Cliff Kingsbury that one game where his offense just blows the other defense off the field.
Even against the Jets.
Even against the Jets. And I worry that about a lot of things. And I think in this situation, this offense is going to have to put together consistent scoring drives to win this game. And I've not seen that yet from him. And that worries me. This is the time it's going to have to happen. And if that doesn't happen, what it's going to be is it's going to be Kyler Murray having to rescue this team from third and longs and third and obvious passing situations, scrambling. And it's a real chaotic way to try to hang in a game and compete in a game. I would much rather see this offense take flight and do something. Do something, get out ahead, get two touchdowns ahead, and just roll.
Yeah, but the Cowboys have been... not necessarily in terms of result, but they've been comfortable in those types of games. The games that get up there in high scores. They do have two wins this year. Again, those two wins have come against teams that, going into the weekend were winless in Atlanta and the Giants. They both got their first wins this weekend. But they're comfortable playing that style. They, at least to this point, have recognize their defensive shortcomings and said, all right, we're going to have to outscore people. I don't think that line of thinking changes with Andy Dalton because you still have Zeke Elliott. You still have maybe the most potent trio of wide receivers in the league in Cooper, Lamb, and Gallup. They throw to their tight end. They're really good offensively.
And the thing is, Andy Dalton as a starting quarterback often got made fun of, right? Mm-hmm. As a backup, he's much better than your average backup.
Can you name a backup you'd be more comfortable? A backup this year that you'd be more comfortable going into a game with?
Chris Streveler.
Probably not. I don't know.
People listening now say, oh, you said the same thing about Flacco last week. Okay, we were wrong on that one.
I was way wrong on that. I didn't know Joe Flacco was that... It had aged that much in terms of his arm strength, all of that. Andy Dalton's not that guy. Andy Dalton is still in the prime of his career. Now, whether or not you thought he was good to begin with, that's up to you.
Yeah, and the Bengals did sit him down last year. They wanted to see what they had in Ryan Finley in the middle of the season. They knew
the
season was going nowhere.
And they wanted to take for Joe Burrow.
And then they put Dalton back in at the end of the year. So he, you know, he missed some time in November, but he started the season as the quarterback for the Bengals, ended the season as the quarterback for the Bengals.
So to wrap it up, and we're going to get into a lot of different angles about this game. We've got a roundtable coming up today. We've obviously got this thing smothered. But I think it's a high-risk-reward game for the Cardinals. You win this, all right, now you're 4-2 going into a showdown at home against the Seahawks. That's all good. I think it would light this town up to win this game tonight. If this offense can't handle the Cowboys' defense, and if this defense can at least slow down the Cowboys' offense, this could get a little bit janky around here.
Yep. Have you subscribed to the Bickley and Marotta podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. Never miss any of the show. It's the Bickley and Marotta podcast. It's brought to you this week by National Bank of Arizona. Coming up next, it was an eventful Week 6 Sunday in the NFL. We'll go around to some of the big storylines next. It's Bickley and Marotta. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Big Red Monday with Bickley and Marotta. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Here's the snap on 3rd and 6. Lob pass toward the end zone. Gronkowski, he makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. What a great grab by Gronk. Holy Gronkamole. The box score a touchdown with 1:02 to go.
Holy Gronkamole is right. That is Gene Deckerhoff on the Buccaneers Radio Network. A rout for the Bucs in Tampa against the Green Bay Packers, who looked like one of the stronger teams in the league going in, but they got absolutely housed in the second quarter of that game.
This to me was the biggest victory from a Bruce Arians coach team in terms of impressive everything since he beat the Packers here. And remember that 36-6 game, whatever it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. They beat him again, I think, in the playoffs. Is that the way it worked?
Yeah, that was 2015.
Okay.
Obviously, the playoff game was a little bit tougher to navigate for the Cardinals, but
Yeah, the playoff game was a bigger game to win, but the Cardinals weren't always that impressive in that game. This game, they fell down 10-0, and I thought to myself, wow, this could get ugly, because as I said earlier, Aaron Rodgers looked like he was very comfortable in that game, and it just flipped. He got hit 13 times by that Bucs defense yesterday. That's a lot. That's a lot of times to get to the quarterback. That's Todd Bowles for you.
Well, I mean, if you got a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, and it seems foolish now after, well, it's only one game, but Friday we were talking about, are we discounting what Aaron Rodgers is doing when we were going through our six-pack of games? Because he had played so well without a full complement of receivers and looked so comfortable doing it. That's what you do when you want to beat those teams when you got quarterbacks rolling, is you want to make that quarterback uncomfortable. And credit to Todd Bowles for doing that. Aaron Rodgers, 16-35, 160 yards, 2 picks. Only the third pick six he's surrendered in his entire career. It was just a massive beatdown. Aaron Rodgers said after the game, maybe this will be a good thing for the Packers.
I feel like we needed a little bit of a wake-up call at some point this season because things have been so good. And there's been so much talk maybe outside the building about the ease with which we're, moving the ball on offense and scoring. You know, I think we need a kind of a kick in a little bit as a little bit of a wake up to, stop feeling ourselves so much and get back to the things that got us this position.
You buying that at all, Ben?
I don't know. That might be an easy way for a guy to kind of absolve that kind of loss. Let's make it about us. I don't know.
It was actually good for us to lose that
one. Right.
But that's what the really good, confident teams will do. Is Aaron Rodgers saying that as opposed to, all right.
Not good at all.
The Carolina Panthers shutting down the Cardinals, and the questions coming out of that game were, did Carolina just provide a blueprint for everybody on how to shut down Kyler Murray?
Yeah.
I mean, so I credit Aaron Rodgers for being confident, saying, it's still on us.
You know, the scary thing from that game is, what if Gronk is rounding back into his form?
I know.
That Tampa offense, and now Godwin's back too.
Uh-huh. That's what I'm saying.
They can't get Godwin and Evans on the field at the same time.
Yeah, I know.
There was a time earlier this year when Tom Brady was not performing well, when B.A. was kind of making some questionable decisions, and they were sitting there at 3-2. And this game yesterday, to me, for Bruce Arians and Tom Brady, feels a lot like this game tonight for Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray to me. This is a game that the Buccaneers were on a huge stage, playing a quarterback that had been dominant, and Tampa came up with what the Buccaneers had zero penalties yesterday. A Bruce Arians team nearly blocked a punt. Okay,
I finally did it, Amos.
You got it going, baby. I knew you could do it.
Yeah, the penalty thing might be that more impressive.
Yeah,
is it a full game without one penalty?
Right.
Yeah, that's a big win for the Buccaneers.
Oh, it really
is. And again, I think after a disappointing performance against Chicago, Tom Brady couldn't count to four.
Right.
To come back like that, that's another game that says, all right, Tampa Bay is going to be in this thing this year.
And when you couple what went down in New England yesterday, that's why I say it was a major shift in this ongoing narrative of Belichick versus Brady, which we all identified as the number one storyline entering the season. Now, that stuff changes, obviously, when real games get being played, but that was the number one storyline going into 2020. Well, maybe number 200 behind the pandemic. But in terms of just athletes and grudge matches and that kind of stuff, this one was number one. And what we saw from Cam Newton in week one, it was like, oh, my goodness, Bill Belichick has got that weapon. Oh, and did you see how old Tom Brady looked?
Yeah.
That's what it was like after week one.
This is the first time they pointed this out on the broadcast yesterday, in October or later, that the Patriots have been under 500. Since 2002.
Yeah.
And it's not just that they're under 500.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they've had some adversity to deal with. I would say, you know, generally speaking, the Patriots are pretty good at dealing with adversity. This is different. They weren't able to practice a lot. They had one of their key players, their quarterback, was on the sidelines with COVID. But he comes back yesterday. And I thought Cam Newton looked awful. And they lost to a not very good team.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Brandon McManus, actually.
Right.
Six field goals was enough to beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
And Denver did get their quarterback back in Drew Lock. He didn't play well, and they still beat the Patriots. Patriots have some issues.
Yeah, no, they do. And that's why this whole thing kind of seemed to flip. Now, I'm not saying Tampa's going to look this good every week, but that's a big win at the right time for them against a quality opponent on a big stage. And now they're in first place in that division. There was a time when it's Carolina for real. So Tampa, that was a big win for them yesterday. Big, big boost for them.
Yeah, and then in the division, we got to look at the Rams and the 49ers. Only the second division game played so far comes in week six. 49ers have played in both of them. And, they earned a victory. They played well last night. They beat the the LA Rams 24-16. And they did it with a very good defensive performance and a very focused offensive performance. Jimmy Garoppolo really struggled last week in that loss to Miami. So they simplified things, A, for him, and to neutralize Aaron Donald. And they did both things. Garoppolo threw a ton of passes behind the line of scrimmage. And there was a lot of yards after catch, but getting rid of the ball quickly. And we've seen teams do that. Around the league, getting rid of the ball quickly was what Garoppolo needed to build confidence with the gimpy ankle. That's a big win for the 49ers.
Yeah, no, listen, I did not expect this to happen. I thought the way the Rams were performing and the losses the 49ers had on defense, I did not see them being able to hang with this game. It's a testament to Kyle Shanahan, ball control offense, and probably just 49er pride. You know, that's that whole Northern California, Southern California thing.
Do you view this good or bad for the Cardinals? Would it have been better for the 49ers to lose again and sort of be, like, taken out of the division?
I mean,
I don't know.
You can look at it either way. Cardinals need to take care of their own business.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, and it's way too early to be worrying about what other teams are doing, in my opinion. We can have that. I think we can have a more valid discussion on that topic tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
But here was Sean McVay about the 49ers.
Well, we've already known every single team is tough. You know, we knew what kind of football team this was that we were playing, and you give them credit. They did a great job tonight, but I also think we had our hand in not playing up to our capabilities. But you got to bring it, and you got to show up, and you got to play at your best in those 3.5-4 hour windows that you get every single week. And if not, these are the results that you get.
And the Rams are 4-0 against the NFC East, 0-2 against everybody else. Let's let that marinate for a little bit. I was impressed in watching the Rams play, maybe more so in the loss to Buffalo than any other game this year. But I don't know what to make of the Rams right now.
Yeah, I don't know either. I thought they had found a really good vibe, and I thought that they had really found a different way to hit the reset button after trading or losing Todd Gurley. Yeah, this is sort of this is probably a wake up call for them as well. I don't know what it's better for. I think it's better what happened yesterday happened because it's kind of proof that maybe the Rams haven't come all the way back to what they were, maybe.
Do you know a high school student who has shown outstanding character? Nominate them now, and they could receive a $10,000 scholarship courtesy of Parker & Sons. Just text CHARACTER to 620-620 to nominate a student for Character Counts 2020. Coming up next, the Dodgers do it again. They come back, and they're headed to the World Series once again. What does it all mean here in Phoenix, Arizona? We'll get into it next. Bickley & Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
Martin's 23rd pitch, Bellinger with a fly ball to right field. Cody Bellinger has just given the Dodgers a 4-3 lead.
Yeah, that's the way it would end up. Charlie Steiner on KLAC, the call. Bellinger's seventh inning home run proved to be the difference. A 4-3 win and a 4-3 series win after being down 2-0 and 3-1 to the Atlanta Braves. Here we go again, Bick. The Los Angeles Dodgers are going back to the World Series.
Yeah, and I don't know what to make about all of this. At one point this weekend, I was entertaining the idea of the Astros Dodgers just for what that would have brought to the table. I don't know what to think about this World Series. Generally because I can't cheer for the Rays because they are effectively passing the Diamondbacks in terms of expansion teams that came to Major League Baseball in 1998.
They've passed them.
Well, the Diamondbacks have a World Series championship.
Yeah, I mean, but in recent years, since Kevin Cash took over for Joe Maddon, I mean, the last decade, the Rays have been a better franchise, in my opinion.
They've got their payroll, Vinny, is less than $30 million.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what they've been able to do.
They've got it going in the right direction. And I know I've said this, and I don't expect the television ratings to be very good for this World Series. Largely due to the presence of the anonymous Tampa Bay Rays.
Uh-huh.
But make no mistake about it, these are the two best teams in baseball.
They are, yes.
They proved that over both teams won 40 or more games in a 60-game season. If you remember the projections earlier going into the season, we scoffed at the fact that some people said, the Dodgers are going to win 35 games. I thought 40-plus was an easy bet. I'm not a gambler, so take it for what it's worth. But these two teams proved it, and they've proved it in the postseason. The Dodgers, look, I know people break out in hives when the Dodgers get talked about in terms of success here in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. They came from 3-1 down.
Yeah, they did.
And they earned every bit of it.
And teams that come from 3-1 down generally win the World Series. If you do it in a championship series, you generally have such unbeatable mojo and momentum that no one tops you. It'll be interesting because the Rays have their own unique way of playing baseball, and it works very, very well for them. But this Dodgers team is crazy, crazy in talent. I don't know if you saw the pregame show, but David Ortiz, Big Poppy, took a couple of shots at the Dodgers that I thought were hysterical. He said, first of all, if you don't win Game 7, which they ended up winning, what more can you buy? That was his line. What else can you buy that you haven't already bought? I thought that was ironic coming from a guy who played in Boston. but still, I can see why it resonated with
him. Yeah, but at least because, the Red Sox won titles.
Right, right, exactly. And true. And the Red Sox lost Mookie Betts to the Dodgers and whatever. So there was that. So the Dodgers had that hanging over their heads, and they came back and they won that series anyway over a really good Atlanta team. But to me, his other thing that he was poking fun at Clayton Kershaw, who had 3 days rest, was not even in the conversation to be in the game yesterday. Do you know how in just damning that is?
Tyler Glasnow pitched on 2 days rest earlier in the postseason for Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, Dustin May.
Of course, Tyler Glasnow doesn't soil his baseball pants every time he takes the mound in the postseason yeah. like Clayton Kershaw does either.
Right, but isn't that unbelievable to be in that situation the Dodgers were in where Dustin May got a text earlier in the day, you're starting, you're giving us warning, get you down for that? He's like, yeah, I am. No, you weren't.
Buy my square hamburgers. He looks like Wendy from.
That's really odd.
Thank you.
Really odd. Where am I? He doesn't look at all like one just because he's got red hair.
He's got long red hair.
He looks to you like the Wendy's logo. That's what you're saying. It's just nonsensical.
I thought it was funny.
Okay. But doesn't that just really, if you're Clayton Kershaw and you're acknowledged as one of the elite pitchers in the sport, how are you feeling about yourself today?
Well, now they could, we wanted to save him for the beginning of the World
right,
Series.
Maybe that's it.
Is he?
Full complement of starters.
Yeah, that's true, though. Is he, or is it going to be Walker Buehler?
Old tight pants himself?
Yeah.
Hey, they got options.
The reason you have to root against the Dodgers, even if you don't hate the Dodgers, even if you're scared of Tampa passing the Diamondbacks, is because, again, just like the Lakers, the Dodgers were almost gifted this World Series because Mookie Betts, the best player in baseball, was traded to them for no reason. Because the Boston Red Sox, a huge market who makes tons of money, just decided we want to get rid of the best player in baseball and we'll give him to the Dodgers.
Yeah. And there was... When Betts made the catch that Rob Freeman last night and made it look easy, by the way.
A night after making a similar catch?
Yeah, and there was, I couldn't get over it. It was like everybody had the same thought on Twitter, just going through my timeline. It's like, I can't believe the Red Sox traded him.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point of baseball, is to identify young guys in your system and have them come up and develop into superstars wearing your uniform. You don't trade them in the height of their careers.
Like the Texans and DeAndre Hopkins.
Exactly. It's a little different in football when you got a salary cap, though.
Yeah.
And Boston has been free spending for how long?
You're right.
25 years, and all of a sudden? How'd that work out for you, last place?
Yeah. Again, I don't know how a team, and I get that they were facing an enormous tax bill, but how do you let a player that good go?
I'm trading other guys before I'm trading him.
Yeah.
I'm just looking up that point on Tampa Bay and the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, well, look, this will be Tampa's second World Series. They haven't won one yet, but they did this with a $29 million payroll.
But here's where it's interesting. Those facts you said, they're all irrefutable. They've doubled now the number of World Series appearances that the Diamondbacks have. The Tampa Bay Rays, Devil Rays, when they started, they were garbage, hot garbage for the first decade of their existence, basically. And they've almost evened up the win percentage all time. Diamondbacks are 493. The Rays are 477. But again, here's an interesting point, too. Since they changed from the Devil Rays to the Rays, they have a 539 winning percentage.
Wow.
I think they've already passed the Diamondbacks, honestly. Not only have they had success, but they've actually like revolutionized the way baseball's played to a degree.
Yeah.
And just think of the pain of the Atlanta fan. Yeah, you think you have it bad here in Phoenix. Atlanta, oh my goodness, I couldn't imagine being a diehard Braves fan. Well, Falcons fan.
The Falcons, you had to deal with that. What else?
That's not enough.
Well, I guess it is.
3-1 in the NLCS and 28-3 in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, my bad. That's plenty enough.
All right, coming up in preparation for tonight's Monday night game, we're going to have a crosstalk simulcast with the K&C Masterpiece Show from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. That's straight ahead. Spickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.